That's Ocean Drive right here on East Point Radio. Great to have the pleasure of your company this morning on the Monday Montage Show. Now, at this time, on a Monday, we invite folks from across the East Anglian region to join us on the programme to publicise various events taking place in East Anglia. And I'm very pleased to say that I'm hoping on the line now is going to be Mike Darbo, who's the former lead singer with Manfred Mann. And he's going to be telling us a little bit about his very varied career. And I hope he's on the line now. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Mark. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm alive and well. Looking forward to talking about that show a little later on. But I know you've got some Manfred questions to ask me first.
Yes, certainly. Now, I know that, as I say, you've had a very varied career, and you basically started with Manfred Mann, didn't you? And with a particular song, which I'm going to play a little bit of in the background right now, and that's this one. So you finally named the day. That was the one that started it all, wasn't it, Mike?
It was, but actually, to be totally honest with you, the first record was a favourite Dylan song of mine called Just Like a Woman.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That was the first record. That got to number 10 in 1966, and then in very early, or was it late 66, early 67, was Semi-Detached, and that got to number 2, and that really sort of kicked off the chapter 2 of the Manfreds. What had happened, I'll give you a bit of background, that Paul Jones had spent the last year from 65 to 66 saying he wanted to leave the band, and the deal they struck with the rest of the band was that he would stay on till they found a replacement. So my turning point was when I was with this little-known group called A Band of Angels, and we were, you know, making records, and we were all at Harrow School, so we were rather posh. And people sort of, I think, made a little bit of a mockery of our background. But I felt absolutely serious about music. You know, I worshipped the Beatles and all the early rock and roll heroes like Jerry Lee Lewis and the Everly Brothers and Chuck Berry and Bobby Darin and Elvis Presley and Little Richard and so on. So I was completely hooked on the music of that era. And come 1965, I put out a record with the Band of Angels called Invitation. We got a television show with Manfred Mann. And they all took one look at me, you know, on the playback of our little record we'd made. And they said, this guy looks like he could be a possible replacement for Paul. So I got a phone call from Manfred, and I met all the other Manfreds, like Tom McGinnis and Mike Hugg, and all the wives. They checked me over as well, and cut a long story short, I got the job. So we put out Just Like a Woman in June of 66, and then later came Semi-Detached, then came Ha Ha, Said the Clown. Then we had our number one with the Mighty Quinn, and we did My Name is Jack, Fox on the Run, Ragamuffin Man. And, you know, so I basically got the job of trying to keep the hits coming. And to that extent, it was a successful transition. Paul Jones went off for his solo career, and, you know, we all lived happily ever after. Now, what happened in 69 was we all disbanded as Manfred Mann and pursued our solo or separate careers. Manfred formed a new band, which actually eventually became a thing called Manfred Mann's Earth Band. That was nothing to do with me. I made solo albums. I did lots of acting and wrote lots of songs. But I shall leave it to you, Mark, to ask the questions.
Hey, it's great to hear all the background. Now, I know that you mentioned there Bob Dylan's, of course, Just Like a Woman. Now, all of those tracks were on the Fontana and the US Mercury labels, weren't they?
They were, yes. That's very knowledgeable of you. Mercury was our American release. I think the only thing that really took off in America was the Mighty Quinn. And of course, you know, with when Paul was singing Do Our Diddy with the band in 1964, that was a huge hit in America too. So that took them to number one, both sides of the Atlantic. The Mighty Quinn got up to about number 10 in 1968-69. But I remember the guy, funnily enough, there's a connection here, because the head of Mercury was a guy called Lou Reisner. And I met him one day in London down Portobello Road. And he said, oh, we desperately need a new single for America. Have you got anything? And I said, well, come round to the house and I'll play you a rough mix of a song that was then called Quinn the Eskimo. And he heard it and he said, well, that's a number one hit. And I said, yes, but unfortunately Manfred won't put it out because he thinks we need to change it around a bit. But we persevered with that and we did put it out, and it was a massive hit. But he also was responsible for the career of a young, unknown, little-known soul singer called Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart was singing at the time with the Jeff Beck group, and I got a call from Andrew Oldham, who had just finished producing and managing the Rolling Stones. He started a new label, which was called Immediate Label, and this song that I'd written called Handbags and Glad Rags, I produced it with Chris Farlow. But in fact, Andrew said, look, we've just signed Rod Stewart. Would you like to produce him? So funnily enough, Rod was determined to sing the same song, and that's what led Rod to singing that on his first album, which was in 1969, and that was called An Old Raincoat Never Lets You Down. And, of course, this was 3 years before Maggie May, so Rod Stewart was sort of bubbling under as a much worshipped but little-known singer until Maggie May came along, and suddenly everyone got to hear his version of Handbags and Glad Rags. And so that was all came about thanks to Lou Reisner at Mercury Records. But, you know, the thing that I remember most of all of that period was my job was to keep making hits, and I felt frustrated that I was a songwriter and nobody was listening to my songs in the band. So I was very grateful for the foundations doing Build Me Up Buttercup, which gave me a sort of career as a songwriter more than a singer. And to this day, you know, both Handbags and Glad Rags and Build Me Up Buttercup are very much part of the soundtrack of the 60s. So even though I was the singer with Manfred Mann, I was always the frustrated songwriter, and that's why I'm still songwriting and performing today, away from the Manfreds. Obviously, I'm still a Manfred from time to time. You know, me and Paul Jones still front the band, but I do rather like being away from that lineup and being able to express myself just as Mike Darbo. And that's what I'm doing on this particular tour, which we call the Sensational 60s Experience. And, you know, it gives me a nice... I'm let off the rein. I don't even play keyboards, in fact, on this tour, even though I'm really a keyboard player. So I've got a lovely band backing me called Vanity Fair, and they've had hits in their own right as well. And so when we come to Lowestoft, and I'm just looking at my... Oh, it's Sunday the 17th of November, I see. We've got the Tremolos, or to be more accurate, they're called the Trems, because there are two rival Tremolos at work. One are the real Tremolos, and the other are the Trems, who are sort of former members of the band. And Vanity Fair, we've got Dozy Beaky, Mick and Titch, the Fortunes, and I do believe we've got also, yes, I've mentioned them all.
Mighty Quinn in the background. You mentioned that a few moments ago. You still there, Mike?
I'm still there, yeah.
Yeah, I said we're just playing Mighty Quinn in the background.
I love it. Thank you.
Yes, our vast library of music here at East Point Radio. We've just dropped that one in for you.
I like it. Thank you.
Now, this is going to be a fantastic event, I know, at the Marina Theatre in Lowestoft. It's all taking place on Sunday, the 17th of November, and the concert commences at 7:30. Now, I understand that this is all part of your farewell tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've made a point just now of how much I love making music and writing it and performing it. The only thing I don't relish always is the long tours. And so even though I intend to keep making music for many years to come and hopefully releasing more albums of my songs as well, I'm making this my final tour because I don't thrive on the travelling and the staying overnight in strange beds where you don't sleep very well and having to reorganise my meals because you don't want to be sort of go out on stage full of food because then you run out of breath. So all sorts of reasons why I rather like staying at home to do my songwriting. So yes, this is my last tour. I've done the last tour with the Manfreds about 6 months ago. That was our 60th anniversary tour. I'm saying officially this is my last tour, but if things go really, really well and suddenly people discover me and my songs again, maybe I could be talked into another tour. But it doesn't mean to say that I'm not available for what we call one-night stands, which is, you know, just appearing for one-offs up and down the country. But I don't relish the touring anymore. So even though, in fact, they've talked me into doing a few more dates in 2025, this is officially my last tour. In fact, I think Lowestoft is the very final one on the 17th of November. Oh, no, we're going until Buxton. I'm doing Buxton on the 24th. So we're doing about five shows a week, and that's quite enough for me.
That must be
that, what I just said there, Mark. Is that acceptable to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that must be very draining on you to do all those various concerts in close proximity like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty tiring, actually, because if I do, I do Just Like a Woman, Semi-Detached Suburban, I do Handbags and Glad Rags, Build Me Up Buttercup, Ha Ha Said the Clown, The Mighty Quinn, Do I Diddy, all huge hits. But actually, if you sing them consecutively, one after the other, for about half an hour, as I do, you're rather out of puff by the end. And, it takes its toll, but I do love it still, I assure you of that.
Yeah, it certainly sounds good. Now, I also know that appearing with you is going to be Steve Ellis from The Love Affair, according to my research. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it is. It is, and it isn't. I'm actually not sure that... Let me just look at my thing. You may be right, because when the Tremes aren't available, Steve Ellis, who's a dear friend of mine, and he's the original singer with, you know, The Love Affair, he's the guy aged 17 who sang Everlasting Love. Open up your eyes, there I go with my everlasting love. He's singing great, and, you know, he's just a little bit younger than me, but he's a real 60s survivor. And I love him to bits, and I know that he takes over whenever the Tremes are unavailable, because there's still, believe it or not, quite a demand for 60s music. So some of these bands I've mentioned, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch, The Fortunes, occasionally the Swinging Blue Jeans come into the show as well. So we're all a bit of a variable feast, depending on whether we're all available. But I shall certainly be there. You may be right about Steve Ellis, though I have it down in my book here that he's actually not going to be there on that day, but maybe I've got my facts wrong. So we'll keep an open verdict on that one.
Okay, well, this is going to be a fantastic event, the sensational 60s production at the Marina Theatre in Lowestoft on Sunday, the 17th of November, commencing at 7:30. I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time, and I'd love to be there in the audience, which I hope to be honest. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a great show. We started it just a few nights ago, and it's going really well. We had a great crowd at King's Lynn just the other night. Full house. They love it. And, you know, whether you actually were old enough to be part of the 60s all those years ago, even if you're a bit younger, come along and enjoy the spirit of the 60s, because it was a very special era for pop music, some of the finest records ever made, in my view.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more with you, and it was a wonderful era, I think, and not only in the music terms, but also in radio terms with the offshore radio, of course.
That's, oh, yeah, I remember the Pirates. I used to visit Radio Caroline, get on board that. And in those days, we had Tony Blackburn and Simon D. And, gosh, I remember all those guys. And we were young. That was the great thing. I'm not so young as I was back then, but I'm still young at heart.
Well, can I thank you, Mike, for joining us live here on East Point Radio and talking about this wonderful event, which is, as I say, going to be coming up at the Marina Theatre in Lowestoft on Sunday, the 17th of November. The sensational 60s experience, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Mark, thank you for giving me so much airtime. I really appreciate it.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, Mike. Can you stay on the line for about 30 seconds and I'll come back to you in just a moment?
Sure will.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, Mike.
My pleasure.
There, we've been talking to Mike Darbo. And, of course, Mike, they're talking all about this fantastic, sensational 60s experience at the Marina Theatre, Lowestoft, Sunday the 17th of November. And let's have this track, shall we, from Dave D. Dozy, Mick Beaky and Ditch.